Rantanen goes around back to the Toronto goal, works back to the blue line, dishes it off to Taves. Taves gets a return pass. Taves going to the net, he scores! Devon Taves comes off the left wing and wins the game in overtime for the Avalanche 5-4.
I take nothing but positive out of this game tonight. I know the way you give up the lead in the third and you end up losing in overtime, which to me, as we've talked about before, is just it's its own baby. We tie the game here today. It's a huge point for us.
Toronto Maple Leafs, we're down by 3 goals once again, and they were up by 3 goals and came back to lose it. I wish it was the other way around. I'm trying to spin it positively. Let's talk to Mike Feuda, who is our insider today, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. We just heard from Sheldon Keefe that he can bring a lot of positives from that loss. Mike Feuda, Sportsnet hockey analyst and senior consultant to the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. Are you on board with that, or is he trying to spin another 4-1 collapse in some sort of positive way for us Leafs fans here in Toronto?
I believe so.
All right.
Well, 4-1, I mean, you know what? It was a great hockey game, and they proved that they can hang in there with a great hockey team. I mean, it was entertaining as heck, but that's nothing but positives. Mm-hmm. You didn't win. I mean, I know what he's doing, and the team's playing great hockey, but I would say there's a bit of a negative. They lost.
Well, what was it to you then, Mike? Like, what would you say was the most concerning element of that loss then, if you are watching that from a Leafs vantage point?
Just it's a little bit of the same stuff they've had in the past. Some of the letdowns and the breakdowns late. I mean, I thought Jack Campbell was outstanding. So I didn't find it to be a goaltending letdown. But just in general, it's just a little bit of that. It kind of, there's a taste of the Boston. I mean, if you're being honest, it was a lot different, but it still brings it a little bit back to some of those heartbreaking losses. So, but I mean, hey, if they truly feel and they're that positive about it, that's a great mindset to have. Like it's what, however we feel or the fan base feels is one thing. If they truly feel that's a real step in the right direction, then that's great for them.
So you mentioned Jack Campbell being a consistent force for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's currently right behind Vasilevsky in Vezina Trophy odds. So how different does this Leafs team look to you or perform confidence-wise when he is somebody that they can rely on game in and game out?
It's an incredible feeling when you don't have to worry about that position. And when you're actually, it gets to a point, I know when we were in Los Angeles, with Jonathan Quick when he was in his prime, and his numbers were very similar to what Jack's doing now. It's an unbelievable feeling when you know that you're actually shocked when a bad goal gets in. And I mean, and it's just the thing. It's such an important position, and you see. I mean, and clearly having a solid backup is important as well. I mean that guy, he's going to have to get some games as well, but. I mean, it's like you look at the teams that are struggling, like with the Edmonton Oilers and stuff like that. It's because they don't know what they're getting from a nightly basis in the most important position. And the Leafs, very consistently this year, have drawn Jack Campbell on the net, and you know exactly what you're getting. And it's been very fun to watch, and it couldn't happen to a better kid.
Yeah, Mike, I know you love him. You know him. And we've talked about him in the past, and there was... I even remember going back to last season, Mike, talking about this, how the ups and downs emotionally with Jack, right? That was a difficulty for him, was the ability to sort of check it and move on to the next game. And, okay, I really don't want to try to spin this in a negative way, but he's been actually so good, Mike, that is there any concern for you that if this does have a bit of a dip in play or Jack does go through a bit of a slump, that we still need to kind of find out what he's going to be like through something like that, considering how incredible it has been his entire tenure with the Leafs?
Yeah, I would think that we're picking at straws. And he's just been too consistent. I mean,
yep.
There hasn't been a dip. I mean, there's been a couple goals here and there, which that happens to anybody, but just his entire I think some of the layoff has actually helped him, because that would have been my one concern when you start playing so much hockey, that you might, you know, he's had trouble staying healthy in the past, and I think the rest is doing nothing but good. I think giving Mrazek some games is going to do him nothing but good. I think they put themselves in a situation where they're, you know, you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves, but I mean, they're in a good spot point wise that's not going to be life or death to play him every game and stuff like that to make the playoffs. It looks like it's they're as long as they continue to work the way they're working, they're going to be a playoff team. It just depends on who they draw. And I would just feel exceptionally comfortable having him in that. I just don't see any, he hasn't, like last year in the playoffs, he was exceptional too. So it's not like, it's not like there's a bad feeling going back to him. I think he's mentally, he's taking care of his demons that way. And he will not be the reason if something goes wrong.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it too. He's been awesome. Again, we're talking to Mike Fiuta, Sportsnet hockey analyst and senior consultant to the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. So, last one on Jack, because, again, it is a player that you know so intimately. How do you just manage this from a goaltending standpoint, you think, moving forward? Because, yeah, I would assume that you want to give a guy like Mrazek a look heading into this Vegas game. You just had 50 shots against Jack. There is the, hey, he's been super consistent. You don't want to overwork him. But he has been playing very well with the workload, and you want to make sure that he is kind of staying in that groove throughout the season. Do you think that there is just something to paying the extra attention to the way that they balance this out, especially considering that going into the year, it did feel like it was supposed to be closer to a 50-50 split than it's obviously going to be down the stretch?
I'd play Jack, and Mrazek gets any back-to-back. They split the back-to-back, so I think he's earned his stripes. And he's the number one goaltender, and that is what it is. I mean, it's the cancellations. There's going to be enough back to backs. I would assume that the Mrazek's going to get his fair share of games, but no, it's Jack's ball, and that's the way it is. And he plays. I mean, that's the way it should be. He's earned it. The contract.
So we brought you on.
It's pretty impressive that a kid's like doing this too in a contract year as well. Like, there's no talk of that. Like, he's making $1.9 million or something like that. That's pretty darn good.
Hopefully they can afford him by the end of the
season. There's talk of it. You got to listen to Kipper's show. There's talk of it. He's been talking about it nonstop.
That the real Kipper and Barney?
Yeah, the real Kipper. Yes, not the fake Kipper. That's our show. That's the real one. Blake.
We brought you in on a Sheldon Keefe quote, but the rest of that quote was that he was talking about the building that they played in being one of the loudest that they played in this year, and how they came from playing in front of no fans and then into that atmosphere, and it took some response from the team. So you're watching some US NHL games with fans. We're up here watching, you know, a pretty different environment. How much do you think that's affecting the players when they cross the border, they play in front of no fans versus the American games where it's a packed house?
You know, it's got to have some kind of effect. I mean, but as professionals, you got to adjust and play your game. I mean, they're used to, I just think it's just so unfortunate. I mean, it just looks strange. Like even last night, I'm watching the games and it's packed, and then I flick and the Raptors are sitting there and there's crickets, and I'm like, oh, geez. It's tough, but I mean, you got to do what you have to do. I mean, eventually they're going to start playing games in Canada, and I don't think they're going to be immediately filling the buildings up the way they've done it in the past. It'll be a pretty incremental build of fans and stuff like that. But it's not a great look, but it is what it is. You just got to power through it. I mean, I thought that they, earlier in the year, Sheldon was often quoted when they were struggling, you know, we've got to answer the bell. We got to come out ready to go. And I thought they clearly did. And usually that's something in the warm-up. These guys, when they go into a packed house in the warm-up, they seem to get their rhythm, and it's not as big a shock. And like coming out and you just drop the puck in front of it, they can get a pretty good idea how raucous the building is going to be when you're in warm-up, and it should be a pretty easy adjustment.
Yeah, my only concern with it has been Toronto is a team that still has to prove themselves in high-intensity games. They need to. They haven't won in the postseason. And I know that you can't replicate that quite the same way in the regular season. And I don't mean to overstate this, but Yeah, I don't like the idea that all your home games are in an atmosphere that isn't intense, that feels like it's shinny, that feels like it's a scrimmage that's fun after practice, because that's how some of these games have felt. And, you know, I made fun of it a little bit, but I really do believe it. And I know that part of it is just the way that the game is going, but part of it is that you can hear it. But seeing Zach Hyman return and play the Leafs in a game where he's talking on the ice about guys' families and having a good time, and that the Leafs just played that, that type of an energy game against Edmonton, I don't think that those reps do anything for you. And if that team still looked at it as regular season is reps for the playoffs, then it does feel like you're losing some of your reps.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But yeah, I mean, but it is what it is. I mean, I don't like it. I agree. I thought that game was just a complete, I went from mark it on my calendar, and then you lose McDavid, yeah. And then it's like, it was just terrible. It was a no hitter, no emotion. Even, I mean, the Zach Hyman standing up and waving at tarp. It was just one that just, it's disappointing. And you could see it through the love affair. And I mean, I don't think that would have changed if, I mean, I guess you could say if it was a playoff game, they would have amped it up. But it's just really hard for those games. And I think the Leafs definitely need that kind of, it benefits them having that kind of crowd involvement. I really, truly do believe that.
So earlier in the show, we were talking about what the Toronto Maple Leafs need most come to trade deadline, and what kind of acquisitions they might be looking for. Most of the conversation here has been needing a depth defenseman. Before we kind of saw what shakes out when you don't have a Marner in your lineup, do you think that they should be eyeing a depth forward or a depth defenseman, or is there a way that they could be able to afford both come the trade deadline?
Well, I think it'd be difficult to get both. I mean, I think they could, if they could get a second pairing defenseman, just a different look, maybe a little bit more of a, you know, another penalty killer for to add some toughness on the back end. I mean, they've seemingly in the past struggled to stay healthy on the back end in the playoffs. So I think where there's I'm a little more confident in the next man up when they have to pull a forward in. With the guys they have in the depth, as long as they're healthy and they're all COVID-free. But I think on the back end, you can never have enough depth. And seeing the last couple of years, when Muzz has gone down, it got really, you know, what's the guy's name? They always seem to call up that the guy's name starts
Marincin.
With M.
Yeah, Marincin.
And it's just as soon as that's the next, it just doesn't give you a warm, fuzzy feeling when that's the next man up.
No.
Coming in. So, yeah, I would think if there's a way to pull it off, grabbing yourself a good, solid defenseman, I think I think you could probably find 16 to 18 teams, though, that are looking for the same solid defenseman.
Right.
And I don't know when you start to look at what might be out there, the costs are pretty for the rentals. Like, if all of a sudden it's and he's certainly not a depth defenseman, but someone like a Mark Giordano, who it seems Seattle is going to be making available. Like, these guys aren't going to be, they're not going to be cheap as rentals. So if there's a hockey trade to be made, I mean, they've just been talking about Chychrun being available. If there's a hockey trade to be made that you're getting somebody that's not just here in the rental process, that's some route they might want to go down to as well. But no, there's some interesting looks that are going to be available. It's just a matter of whether you have if you have the currency to bring it in, because there's lots of teams looking.
Listen, one of my favorite things is fake trades in any sport. I love fake trades the best, debating and discussing them. It's part of what, to me anyways, was just a foundational piece of being a young sports fan, was starting to do those with your friends and starting to discuss them with your friends and blah, blah, blah. And no fan base does that more than the Leafs. But even me, even the creator of all the fake trades, does love the whole, you know what the Leafs should go get? They should go get a defenseman, right shot, who can kill penalties, who can play 20 minutes, who can play up and down the lineup, who's no drama, I'm like, yeah, this is would be good. Like, yeah. He should definitely.
And we'll give up.
Right.
And we'll give up.
Makes no money.
We'll give up Manson and a fifth.
Yes, exactly. Marincin's in the trade. Yeah, he's an analytic starling, so someone will value him differently. Yes, I love those fake trades. My thing with the forward depth is just simply, you're right, the next man up doesn't feel as bad, and they do have now Richie being waived, and maybe that just kind of solves some of their problems, but part of why I think they lost that Colorado game was they had to lean so heavily on their top players, and they could not play Kyle Clifford in that game. They couldn't play. I'm already blanking on the guy's name that they
called up.
Ceeney. Yeah, Ceeney. They couldn't play some of their depth guys. There was five dudes that played less than 11 minutes in that game, and I go, you know, maybe the cost of acquisition for just a forward that you can trust a little bit more, that's maybe a little bit better of a skater and that can play in those moments and give you a buffer between Ceney and Clifford might be a worthwhile investment and might be actually easier to achieve.
Yeah, I'm just taking into account that Marner and Engvall are in your lineup, right? So,
yep.
And you're going to have injuries. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not – again, it's – the fake trades are great. I always struggled with the Leafs side of a fake trade.
Yeah.
Particularly when I was working in the league, because it was just almost like everybody expected that they should be able to get Drew Doughty for nothing.
Well, you should have done that. Why were you? See, I've always thought you're a traitor. You claim to be this big Ontario guy, claims to be a guy who grew up cheering for the Leafs, and yet you weren't in the office trying to make the Doughty trade. That's the trade I wanted the most in my life, and you wouldn't help.
I did bring the cup back to Ontario a couple times.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. Oh, thank you. No, that was really great. What a moment it was for this province.
I did bring it back. Right. I was born in 1967, and I did show it to some of my Leaf friends.
So rude. Okay, last one before you go, Mike. I got one more for you. It's just about, I don't know how to properly assess what Austin Matthews is doing, because I feel like, yes, we already acknowledge that he's one of the best players on the planet. Yes, he's had incredible seasons before, but do you look at what he's doing right now and consider any part of it a leap, or is this just regular Austin Matthews?
It's regular Austin Matthews, but regular Austin Matthews is elite. So for me, anyways, I mean, and now you're seeing like the competitiveness, like when he kind of took over after his second goal, like that kind of player, that's playoff intensity. And I think that's what you're going to get from him down the stretch here. Like, he's got something to prove, and I can feel it when he's got it cranked up a notch, and that was against an exceptional opponent, and he was elite. I just think he is an elite player. So, yeah, I think it's a good feeling when you're satisfied with it, when you're comparing what level of eliteness he's bringing on a nightly basis. That's a pretty good thing. So he's just a dynamic, powerful player that has now he looks like he's started to take a little bit more attention to detail without the puck when he has to. And he's a force when he's on. He's one of those guys that would just be a handful for any defenseman to try and handle. Love the player.
Well, we certainly are very happy that we have him on the Maple Leafs. And just as Sheldon Keefe said, nothing but positives. That's how we feel about our interview with you. Thank you, Mike Fiuta, for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, I hope everybody had a wonderful New Year and just stay healthy.
Thanks.
No, it's great. Everyone's doing great. Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best. We love Ontario.
See you, Mike. Yeah, no, it's great. It's really great.
Have a great one.
See you, Mike.
That Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Yeah.
Couple little shots at Ontario there.
Well, it's just, to me, the whole I'm already over 2022. It's very true. 2022 has already lasted far too long. Wrap it up. Let's get it done. Let's on to 2023. That's my Belichick show. Yeah, we're on to 2023. 2022 is already basically a write-off. Yeah, I think Mike thought I said is Austin Matthews elite, not a leap. But I do want to dive into that again further with Bourne later today, because I think it's really hard to assess the game's best players. I really do. I think that we can sort of ignore them. We can really leave them out of narratives for shows like this, that even the, in this sport especially, guys are more reluctant to be critical of star players when they are struggling. And that's not what Austin Matthews is doing, but there's always been a kind of a pecking order thing in hockey where you don't mind ripping on the grinders because that was somebody who you were, or that's somewhere where it's like right in line. It's harder to criticize the star players when they're not playing up to snuff at times. Just watching Matthews lately, and I know it's coming off of a two-goal performance, but watching him lately has felt a little different to me. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just does look like he has taken... Maybe a leap is too strong of a word. Maybe a step is better for someone of that caliber when you're already talking about the elite of the elite. But yeah, it does feel like Matthews has been taking a step this season, and that it's been happening sort of incrementally throughout the year.
You know why it's hard to evaluate? It's because it doesn't matter until what he does in the playoffs. Okay. And I think that that's something that... Of course, he's doing really well once again in the regular season, and you can admire the progress and the leap he's made. But I think that missing piece is that it doesn't really matter right now. It matters to get to the playoffs, but I don't think we're going to fully understand and appreciate the Austin Matthews experience until we see the Leafs make it through a couple rounds and see what he does in those big moments and see him on the biggest stage. Like, yes, it's great to watch him, you know, pound the Ottawa Senators and the Edmonton Oilers, but I just think that there's that little bit of hesitancy to crown him this more than what he is right now until we see him in the playoffs. That to me is why I think we hit this wall. But
You know what else, though? It scares me a little bit when with the frequency of... I like when people agree with me. There's no doubt, right? I like when people acknowledge my takes. I'm not really thrilled at the rate in which people have agreed with my losing reps take about the Leafs playing any regular season game at home and the consequence of that heading towards the postseason. So, yeah, let's continue to enjoy this road trip. Let's continue to have fun watching them with fans. And let's hope and pray that this delay can... This buffer that we've tried to afford this province that we love so much. This lovely, lovely, amazing province that's doing so great right now that they can maybe just do keep on shining and just do maybe just like a little bit better, just a little tiny bit better. Do you guys want to take a break? Blake sorted out his equipment issues. That seems good. Pull back the curtain.
It wasn't me. It was someone. Look, our show is so good that someone is trying to patch me into their show.
Yeah,
you guys are talking to Mike. So it's like, look, these guys have an embarrassment of riches. We're gonna take this guy for our show for a little bit.
Yeah. If you guys had to do a show on any other thing, what would it be, Blake? I guess yours would be music. You feel like if they brought you into a music station.
Yeah, I mean, Indie 88 is a pretty logical spot for me, I think.
Okay. Ailish?
I don't know. Mine would be maybe like just a positivity station.
No, that's not a positivity station.
I just do the A-list for like 8 hours.
I
just tell everybody all the good things happening. No, I think like, you know, maybe pop culture, music. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Food for sure. I'd like to keep my role here, so I'm not going to think too much about it.
Whatever the cooking network is.
No.
But actually, you know what?
I have a cooking radio show.
With all your stuff, I guess it wouldn't work for it. Doesn't can it just be TV instead? Because like with all the stuff you come back with from your cottage and your cabin and stuff, like I could see you as an HGTV style.
See, that's
host.
Where I was
That'd
going.
Be sweet.
No, I'm I was going that. More that it's Ailish's adventures right out into the cottage country, right where it's fishing.
Like
it's
that.
A little it's stuff like that. But no, it's definitely not food. Again, like I will not feed into the propaganda machine that says Ailish Forfar has good food takes. You're awful with food, and I you tricked everybody because you had the good dill pickle take. You are the
I
dill
changed
pickle
your life with the dill pickles.
Yes, you did. You put me on dill pickle chips, spicy dill pickle
but
chips.
Since then, I haven't done much. I understand.
No, since you're a one-hit wonder. You're absolutely the Chumbawamba of food takes, where it's like you hit one time and you never got back up again. So, no, that's it. There's no more Ailish gets credit for food takes until proven otherwise.
I'm going to try to redeem myself.
No, you probably can't because you already can't redeem yourself.
Give me another chance. You can't write me off after one bad take.
No, it wasn't one. You've gave every single chip on the planet a 7 out of 10. You have no real review process. You just throw out numbers. And then you said no chocolate and popcorn, which is egregious. Egregious. Again, you're going to moon jail for these food takes. fraud. Let's take a break. Let's come back and celebrate all the money that we made this weekend. So rich. The gang gets rich.
Not even just money for us, money for the listeners.
Everyone.
Money for Ailish and Simp.
Everyone. Yes. So much money, except for Coward's Parlay, which went 0 for 3.
Oh, yeah,
whatever.
It's horrific. But you know what? This is one of those rare days. I told everybody to bet that tie or to go to overtime, not the tie, just to bet the overtime. So I think that recuses me from how horrible Cowards was this weekend. Either way, Wake and Rake review, and then hopefully we can keep that cash flow running. It's the Fan Warning Show. JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, who will do this show. He won't do the other show that they tried to hijack him for. And Ailish Forfar, the fraudulent food take queen. The Martha Stewart has to go to jail food take queens. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sports Night Fun Night of the Fan.
The Fan Morning Show. Sports Night 590 the Fan. Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, JD Bunkus. Follow them on their socials at their names. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. The Fan Morning Show. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. You owe it to us if you followed Friday's Wake and Rake Parlay and you're now a rich girl or a rich boy. 4 for 4. We even had the Cool Bet Chris bump to make it a four-legger instead of... That's our first four-leg that's hit, although technically it was the first four-leg we attempted because...
100% accuracy.
The other time Cool Bet Chris was on, we had to drop his from the parlay. So Cavs -5. On Friday night hits, Lakers money line hits, Hurricanes money line hits, and the Toronto Raptors -11.5 against Utah Jazz is terrifying.
Who was the...
I picked that one.
Okay, because I was going to say, I had a point of confusion on that because I just said to everybody on that show that I was putting my life savings on the Raptors, which I did.
I suggested it first, and you're like, damn, that's amazing. I love it. I want that one, but I had already taken it.
Yeah, because I bet our parlay, but I also bet... the Raptors to win by 11.5. You know what? The only thing I'm glad about, I forgot to do one other bet. I did the Ailish where I jumped on that Raptors line early and I bet the -11.5 and I put a few, I chucked some ducks, you know, I chucked a few ducks down on that, but I was actually going to play it again with a teased line where I was going to tease it to the maximum amount. Where it was going to be something like Raptors -20.5, which I would have lost. So luckily I forgot to do that bet. But either way, I loved that one. And Lakers was sort of a panicky scramble bet where I was like, I don't know. So I couldn't – I didn't know who actually delivered Raptors. I just had a bad memory. So it was you.
So you had the Lakers one, JD, which was also also a good one.
No sweat. So no sweat.
No sweat. And Cavs -5 was pretty safe. I also did some Mobley props in that one, which was fun. So we also, it really came down to that Raptors one, and it was quite the swing where obviously the Raptors end up winning 122-108. So they cover the spread, but at one point their win probability got as low as 9.9%. Not their cover probability.
Yeah, just win.
Their win probability outright in the middle of the third quarter was down under 10%. They were trailing. They trailed by more than 14, but they were trailing by 14 with 16 minutes to play in the game. And your win probability at that point is next to nothing. And then they come back and they end up winning monstrously because Fred VanVleet goes on a personal 17-0 run, which is one of the biggest personal runs in recent NBA history.
Yeah.
And if you're – so that was 17-0 run with the Jazz not scoring. Strictly, if you ignored the opponent, how many straight points a Raptors player scored, I believe Vince Carter is the only one who's done more. He scored 18 straight points for the Raptors once. So pretty incredible Fred VanVleet performance to pull that one back. Per in predictable, which does like live in-game win probabilities, VanVleet was worth 0.4 wins in that game alone in terms of win probability. So monster Fred performance to save the Wake and Rake. Ailish, I texted JD during that game when the Raptors were down 15 or 17, and I told him, like, he didn't respond in time, but I told him, like, hey, there's a real in-game betting opportunity because the spread at that point was down to Raptors -2.5, and you could get pretty good value on the money line as well. Ailish, what were your swings like throughout that game?
No, didn't have any doubt in my mind that they would come back.
No doubt.
I almost could say that without laughing. No, I was nervous. But you know what? JD taught me to never cash out. He's ingrained that in my brain. And I thought, you know what? If we lose this, it's once again on me. I'm never going to hear the end of it. But when they came back, I felt extreme pride. And we got a lot of texts and a lot of tweets at us about how we made some big money for our listeners. So I feel really proud of my decision.
Yeah. And that one was, I believe it was like plus 800 or something like that. So this is the thing, you know, someone responded to a tweet and was like, it was this the first time you guys have won the Wake and Rake Parlay? It's not. It was the fourth win out of 15, which doesn't sound that great, but this is what happens when you go with parlays instead of individual bets. We're 27 and 14 in these pick recommendations overall, but there's only been four parlays to hit. But four out of 15, you only need those to be coming in at plus 400 to have return positive value, right? So that one gives us a big little edge in terms of ROI here on the Wake and Rakes altogether. Ailish, as much as the Wake... Sorry, go ahead, JD.
I was just going to say that I don't care what people tweet about not... It's like, listen, if you're playing this show and you're playing this block, you're making money. Like, you're making quite a bit of money. This show has been very, very profitable since we've been going on, to the point where I think that we need to start investing some of our money and turning it into other ventures. Like, also, by the way, I keep getting people in the DMs asking me for picks. I'm like, listen, subscribe to this podcast and listen to the 8:30
block. We give you at least three picks a day.
Exactly. I'm not a personal DM service for just picks. Those you can follow, those you can just like review, those you can like send me a pictures of you subscribe to this podcast or you, you know, reviewing this podcast, something, right? Give me a little taste back for those things. But 8:30 block every single day. However, now we already have three t-shirts. We have three t-shirts that I think we should be making for our show. One is just hashtag team never cash, just $5.
Just $5. I love that
and
one.
Chuck and Ducks. And that's it. And it's like those three t-shirts we should be making. We should be on it. And those are all patent. Like no one can make those. Those are our shirts. All right.
That's the patent rule. Those three shirts and the kitten mittens. We need patents on
kitten mittens. Yes. is your cat making too much noise?
Mine has been. I've had to mute multiple times. So Brody is back after a week away.
Yeah.
And he is like trying to type, trying to chew on the microphone. He's a maniac. He's trying to get revenge because I sent him to get fixed. So so Wake and Rake hits, but Ailish, one of your standbys does not. Kadri doesn't score in that game.
Yeah,
was
what
that just $5 for you?
Yeah, it was just the $5. I mean, the odds were like only like +2 something. So it wasn't even like a big money bring in. But usually I feel like the X always cashes in. I did, however, bet Kerfoot to score, and he did provide me with that. So one out of two of those hit for me. But yeah, I had a little bit of good luck this weekend, but the Kerfoot one helped a lot.
So part of our discussion in Thursday's Wake and Rake block was I am a very, very novice when it comes to the PGA Tour. I'm not a big golf person. Like I don't mind watching a championship Sunday on the TV. I'm not a golfer though, and I'm not invested at all. And you guys were on me for it a little bit. Cam Smith, who you guys made me think is a bum.
I never
and
said
looks
that.
Like Brian Pillman Jr. if you know your wrestling brain. PGA Tour record -34 in that tournament.
Let me reiterate what happened. I brought up the PGA odds, and I was reading off who was the favorite, and JD said that Cameron Smith is absolutely garbage and the worst golfer he had ever seen. He continues to lead the entire tournament, break a PGA record. I had multiple people message me like, your buddy JD needs to watch golf. What happened? And I said, I'm not JD. You direct your anger to somebody else. But we did have a lot of people very upset about JD's comments on Cameron Smith that I
gotta
just
tell you guys,
there.
I love how much that, you know, like these weekends happen and I never pay attention at all to my
There's a
tweet.
Lot of other like, things that were happening.
Like I don't watch any of these things and you guys are like so hyper aware of everything that's happened in the messages. I will say that I do not appreciate having these lies told about me by the two of you saying that I called Cam Smith garbage or these things. I've said Cam Smith and I stand by this. Hey, Cam Smith, win a meaningful tournament and then we will talk. Cam Smith is just a guy so far that basically every golf fan is always like, this guy's the sleeper to win the Masters. This guy's the sleeper to win this, like, blah, 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 blah. And no, it has not been done. Is the guy good? Yes. Did you see how loaded that PGA event is? Cam Smith's there. He belongs to be there. But no, I wouldn't have bet on him. I won't be betting on him at any majors until he actually does stuff. And yes, golf Twitter is one of the funniest, is one of the funniest Twitters or socials you can get into, because it's all the same, you know, upper middle class guy that gets way too triggered about when you make fun of like other like super wealthy, non-relatable people. Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite. It's my favorite one to troll. It's my favorite one to troll. That I would say the least amount of self-awareness there is golf fans. No question about it. Least self-aware out of any type of identifiable sports fan group. They are the ones. So how about tonight? How about moving forward? What? How about we make some a few more picks? We don't have our local teams, so that's kind of a bummer. We do, however, have ourselves a big college football game.
Yes.
We got Georgia-Alabama.
I'm all over this one.
Yeah,
this is going to be my wake
there.
And rake. So
okay, good. What do you got?
Let me give you a backstory. One of my best friends went to Georgia. She's an Olympic swimmer. She's on the swimming team at Georgia. My friend Britt. So I texted her for the inside scoop. I said, give me the scoop on tonight's game. Her perspective, obviously she's a bit biased, but this is Georgia's moment to overcome their demons. Just like the Maple Leafs in the playoffs. They've gotten to this stage. They've failed. They have a lot of adversity on them this year because Alabama's playing with the Heisman Trophy winner and Georgia has a walk-on. Okay, so there's a bit of a barrier there. Alabama smoked them in the SEC championship. They have lost multiple times to Alabama in big moments, but I just feel like there's so much happening in sports right now of these moments of people overcoming their demons and being successful at the big stage. And so I'm going to go Georgia on the spread tonight. I want it. I have a personal connection to Georgia through my friend. She was very confident, and I would like for them to be victorious. I'd like for them to write this storyline and to get over the hurdles and their demons. So, Georgia, I'm all for it tonight. Go Dogs.
I will be going against you. I will not be playing the wake and rake today.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite things to bet. Listen, you might be right. I'm not talking about this. I'm not throwing Alabama into my wake and rake. Mm-hmm. But I already did this. I already played this game. I already made the money. Because when you get Alabama as a dog, you take Alabama as a dog. This is just science. This is not something that you mess around with or you overthink. Georgia, great season. And a year that everyone thought that they actually were the best team, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, but I'm getting Saban versus Kirby Smart. I know who I'm taking, and it's Nick Saban. And I'm taking Alabama, the pedigree program. Even in a down year, I'm still taking Alabama. This just happened also in the college playoff where everyone went, oh, you know, maybe Alabama, they'll lose on this. No, it's just, they're Bama. It's just Bama. There's certain things that you just do not do. Like, to me, and it is putting the under on Warriors games because of Steph Curry and just the way that they've shot throughout those years is like people seeing those high, high totals. And then, yeah, just Alabama as dogs. I'm just going to play them out of principle. This is just the way it is. They're short dog. The line has actually been moving towards Alabama, at least at my book here at Coolbet. I know because it opened Georgia -3, right? Or was it Georgia -3.5?
I currently have it at -2.5, but it's moved to -3 on this other site that I use.
Okay, because, yeah, I have it at -2 right now. So, to me, I think that money is coming in on, no matter where you are, money's coming in on the Crimson Tide. I just think that this is a pedigree, coach, quarterback. This is the play. Georgia, in a weird way, I'll kind of be rooting for Georgia because I don't like Alabama, but yeah, principal play for me for the Tide. Blake, you going to tie break this one for us?
Well, first of all, I was going to say there's a tiny, tiny bit of room here for us to try to middle this. And then we both, like, we can do both where we take Georgia to win outright, but Bama with the points at +3. And then you get the chance of winning both ways. But I think
That's quite a middle. Yeah.
It's a little too narrow there. So, no, my question is, what do we do with this? Because you guys, this was going to be Ailish's wake and rake piece, but you guys disagree. And we obviously can't have Georgia and Bama both on the wake and rake. So Ailish did call it first, but I don't know. Do we need to get into territory where on a
no, it's
like
on
that,
the wake and rake.
Wake and rake Okay.
No, it's on the wake and rake. I just don't think that there needs to be a rule where I have to quote unquote play the wake and rake. Maybe I will.
No, no, no. Of
Maybe
course.
I'll just do
I was just wondering
it.
If we're getting into veto territory or anything.
No, I my pick is just going to be the Boston Bruins. They're plus 100. I think it's a coin toss game, and this is just, again, a principal play where I'm saying to myself, Bruins Caps tonight, even game. I'm getting the Bruins up plus 100. I like the value on them today, so I'm taking the Bruins.
And sorry, Ailish, to clarify, were you taking Georgia minus 3 or Georgia money line?
You know what? I'm going to do money line.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to break one of my rules here, and I'm going to go with a large road favorite. The Philadelphia 76ers are at the Houston Rockets tonight. They're 10.5-point favorites. The Rockets are on the second night of a back-to-back after on which they're 1-5 against the spread. They're 1-10 against the spread in the last 11 in general after that little hot streak that they had. They're 5-10 against the spread when they're home underdogs. And Philly is extremely well-rested. If you look at Philadelphia's or Joel Embiid's stats in particular, when he has an extra day of rest or more, he is an absolute monster. On 2 days of rest, he's averaging 34-13 on 74% true shooting. The Houston Rockets are ill-equipped to defend anyone. They are particularly ill-equipped to defend a player like Joel Embiid with a rest advantage. No disrespect to Christian Wood, Daniel Tyson, Alperen, Sengun, but Sengun's out anyway. I think this is a 76ers feast, and 10.5 large, like 10.5 on the road is enough that you worry about, oh, maybe you pull your guys early, maybe they hang around. Everything in this one is pointing to a 76ers blowout, and as much as I don't like double-digit road favorites, I think, I don't know, 76ers minus 10.5 feels... Every 76ers fan who hears this is going to be like, haha, enjoy the one-point overtime victory, because that's what the 76ers have tended to do. But they've turned that around of late and started smashing teams. They're four straight against the spread, starting to blow some opponents out, figure it out as they get back to health here.
It's funny, because when you mentioned that, I was wondering which heavy road favorite you were going to lean with.
Yeah, there's a few tonight.
Because there's a few tonight. The Jazz are 12-point favorites. The Nets are 11.5-point favorites at Portland. I will say that, like, this isn't my wake and rake, but I did look at that. I bet the Pacers this past weekend to beat the Jazz, which worked out well for me because I was just continuing to play their missing guys. And then Donovan Mitchell came back, and whatever. They still ended up winning that game. I still ended up cashing that bet. But I actually wondered if you think that there's any value on the Pistons getting 12 points, considering that the Jazz are still missing Gobert. I don't know how much is that is just simply, okay, that's only one guy. Because it's like basically just him and Rudy Gay that are going to miss this game now. They're getting healthier. They're getting pieces
and
back.
Ingles.
And Ingles, sorry. Yeah, Ingles is also a significant piece. So you're missing those three. And it's 12 points. And I have this for you, is that the Jazz are only 3-7 in their last 10 covering.
Yeah. So the concern in this one would be that Jeremy Grant's still missing on the Pistons side, and the Pistons.
The concern is that the Pistons are the Pistons.
Are the Pistons? Betting on the Pistons. Like even the good Cade games, they're losing these days. So
yeah.
The Jeremy Grant piece is big though. Like he's their best player. So it's a little bit tough. But they did just beat the Magic. They beat the Bucks not that long ago. They beat the Spurs. They have a proclivity to get the brakes beaten off of them at times too, because. Again, they're very bad, but
yeah,
this is a team that's crawled to respectability, and the Jazz are pretty deep into a road trip here. I don't mind that one. 12 points is a lot when you're at home.
What about
and like
Cavs?
I said, Cavs on the road minus 5 at the Kings is something I'm probably going to look at, but we don't have injury reports for either yet. Both teams played yesterday. With the back-to-back and a travel situation for Cleveland, I just want to see what the injury reports look like. Cleveland's obviously had a lot of guys in and out of late. And Golden State to Sacramento is not a difficult travel. You can make that one by train. But it's still one that you want to keep an eye. Like Evan Mobley played 36 minutes last night. You want to just keep an eye on it with how banged up they've been.
Yeah. By the way, it's from last night's game. So tough one. Evan Mobley played that much, right? I'll admit that
as they were getting blown out. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was focused in weird moments on that game, right? Like I obviously watched the beginning. I thought that it was a little Like, I'm happy for Clay, but it was kind of funny that an organization that's won championships before was treating, like, Clay's return like it was a ring ceremony.
Like, Draymond started and immediately came out 6 seconds into the – 7 seconds into the game.
Yeah, it was
like that. Did you like that they all showed up in Clay jerseys to the game? Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I like that, and I like Steph changing his Twitter avatar to a funny picture of Clay. Sure. I like all that stuff. And I'm even fine with, like, Clay getting the last introduction and them, like – clearly trying to make him smile with that ovation. But the Draymond thing was where it crossed the line for me. Like, you're injured and you just, like, you have to say. It would be one thing if it was, like, still the same starters they won a championship with, but, like, Wiggins and Looney are starting too. You don't need the ceremonial Draymond Green start.
Yeah, I just to tie it into our gambling segment, I thought that one of the easiest bets of the year was Klay Thompson over 11.5 points. Yeah. I thought when I saw that line, that was very much a I froze because I got so anxious about, like, not even making sure I hit the money on it. And he didn't end up with 20. He had, what, 17 points in that game? It was still a nice performance. But you knew they were going to give Klay shots. They weren't going to bring Klay back and have him play 12 minutes and take 5 shots. Like, 11.5 is...
He took 18 shots in 20 minutes.
Yeah, like, it's one of the worst lines I've ever seen Vegas set. I couldn't understand it whatsoever. 11.5. It was Klay Thompson. I don't know. I thought that was free money. Every once in a while, you get those free money bets. That was certainly one of them. I don't think I'm going to beat that in all of 2022.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, the Klay one, they were, I wish you could do field goal attempt bets more often. Like, they occasionally pop up, but not all that often. Like, there's no, I don't know, there wouldn't have been a number high enough to not bet on Klay getting those shots in, especially with, like, with how good the Warriors have been. Like, they don't need to worry about the wins and losses and stuff. They're in action again. Actually, this is quite the Klay return, where he got our Cavs yesterday and he gets our Grizzlies tomorrow. Klay really the enemy of the Wake and Rake parlay, Klay Thompson.
How many teams do we have now? Our teams.
Well,
I don't know.
Too many.
The only thing that's holding the Grizzlies back from being my Grizzlies is that I bet against them when I went to Washington, and it's so funny. Ja's having this season that's going to go down as the Ja breakout year, and I don't have it in front of me, but I would guess that Ja scored 12 points in the game I saw him live. He had zero dunks. He had zero exciting plays. He just missed a bunch, and then the Wizards blew out Memphis. Like, we paid courtside seats, basically, so that we could watch Ja Morant. And
this is your favorite story.
No, but it's hilarious to me that his season continues to get even more insane, and that I love this Grizzlies team, and that I find myself, like, there's a couple of teams that I like to watch on League Pass that I actively want to tune into, and that I, by the way, sneakily, one of them is also my Timberwolves, just because I have this weird I don't think it's
you're
actually
you're gonna come around on Towns.
No, I'm just such an Anthony Edwards guy that I just I really do think that, you know, I've talked about this with you guys before, but in terms of, you know, cool athletes that you can root for, where I'm jealous of other franchises, like Lamar Jackson is just such a cool quarterback to be able to root for. You go, man, that's a cool player. Now I think Jamar Chase is one of those guys where you go, man, how cool would it be to be able to cheer for Jamar Chase?
Where's Debo in San Fran too, right?
Yes, there's just cool players in sports. I would say that in my cool power rankings of athletes, Anthony Edwards might be one. He might honestly be.
To wrestling brain it, he's also a promo guy. Like, every interview he does is a must-watch. By the way, Jaw, it was easily his worst game of the season that you saw. 4 of 17 for 11 points. He's had 11 one other time, but it was efficiently. And then he had a two-point game, but it was the one he got hurt in.
Yeah.
So he only played 8 minutes. It doesn't really count. But yes, Jaw has scored under 16 points 3 times this year. Yeah. Once was like an efficient one in a blowout. Once was when he got hurt, and once was when you were there. So take that, JD.
No, super cool. Super cool. Okay, so wrap this up, Wake and Rake is.
Yeah. Yes. 76ers minus 10.5 at the Rockets. Georgia to win against Alabama, and the Boston Bruins to win outright. I like that Bruins pick, by the way. It's a good edge there.
Speaking of percentages, currently on my Instagram poll, I'm having a vote on if you should put chocolate in popcorn, and 54% say no.
Wow. I can't believe the simps of Ailish's simp army are simping for Ailish.
There's no way that all of those people have already listened to the show and know my side of the debate. Ailish. There's no way
I'm the data guy here. I'm going to need a full demographic breakdown of these voters. We need to see if this is a representative sample or not. This is too simp-heavy a sample.
Two things. Simple. Ailish and I, we need to get back in studio to get the chemistry back here, because now we're like in a fight over the food, and now tomorrow's going to be real contentious if Georgia wins, because I know how Ailish operates, and she's going to bring it up every single block, right? She's going to be like, and I told you, and I told you, and I told you. Whereas I'm just going to save it if Alabama wins for my one big shot, right?
Like, no problem.
I'm going to make you wait, and then all of a sudden it's going to be like, bang, drop on the Alabama
thing. You've been there before. It's okay.
My thing with your chocolate and popcorn take is that, do I want just popcorn standalone sometimes? Of course. Who doesn't? I'm not a monster. I like popcorn as well. The idea that you think it's disgusting to put chocolate in popcorn is why your food pass has been revoked, why your review process has been revoked. Your palate just simply isn't refined enough. We need our food critics to be real representatives of those of us who have a palate. Like, what are we getting from you? You know, like, your next review is going to be applesauce. You're like, oh, applesauce. Like, it's like, we can't trust you with things. Like, we can't trust you with anything.
No problem. I'll take it.
Disgusting. Chocolate and popcorn.
Yeah, we need to get back in the studio so we can reestablish the chemistry of you two against me, because you two against each other on Alabama, Georgia, you two against each other on popcorn toppings. Yeah. It doesn't feel right when it's you two against each other. Get back to ganging up on me. And then I'll tag in people like Justin Bourne to have my side once in a while. We're going to talk to Bourne about your Toronto Maple Leafs coming up after the break. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.